My guest at this time is Bernard Schoenberg of the State Journal Register newspaper in Springfield, Illinois. He has been our guest many times over the past 3 years to help us better understand what exactly is happening in the ordeal of a now ousted Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. The news pretty simple to understand today. 14 years in prison is the sentence for Governor Blagojevich for all sorts of corruption charges and convictions. Most notably, of course, his attempt to sell the open Senate seat back in late 2008 of then-President-elect Barack Obama. And Bernie, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, you're welcome. It's an interesting day in Illinois, as has happened before.
Yes, it certainly has. Unfortunately, he won't even be the only former Illinois governor in a federal prison at this point. But in terms of what was the expectation, 14 years is obviously more than George Ryan got. It's more than most political figures tend to get. Yet it seemed like that was pretty much what most folks thought was going to happen. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I heard somebody speculating yesterday about a dozen, and as you know, the prosecutors had asked for 15 to 20, and the governor's side was hoping for probation. So this is very serious because, you know, it's white-collar crime. Nobody was physically hurt that we know, although a lot of people had their lives turned upside down in the 6 years that Rod Blagojevich was governor, but it is significant. Very significant sentence for a white-collar crime.
What was the major difference between the first trial, which ended in a mistrial, and this one? Was the prosecution just sharper and more clear with their evidence? Was it a jury that just didn't have a holdout this time? What do you think was the major difference?
I think the second thing was the key, that there was a juror on the first panel when Rod Blagojevich was only convicted of lying to investigators, and there was no decision on the other counts. That was someone who thought that politics is done by give and take, and she, you know, having read her comments afterwards, thought that the kind of deals that Governor Blagojevich was talking about on the phone, even in salty language, were the way government operates. The government certainly thought he crossed the line, and they were much crisper in their presentation of the case the second time through with the second jury, and that holdout problem did not occur. They were able to convince the jurors that, yeah, you can't, you know, government positions are not, in a sense, up for this kind of barter. And certainly the month that the government spent wiretapping the governor's phone and I think having a bug in his campaign headquarters certainly did not help him, and it certainly helped prosecutors nail down what sounded like illegal intent.
Obviously, in the immediate wake of these accusations against Blagojevich 3 years ago, there was obviously this pall kind of cast over Springfield and to some extent the entire state. To what extent has that lifted, and to what extent is Governor Quinn and the state government still kind of reeling from all that?
Well, it's a different kind of reeling, but it's still reeling. Financial troubles, some of which were exacerbated by Rod Blagojevich's kind of extravagant spending, are still there. He, for example, lowered the requirements, you know, to increase the number of people who would be on Medicaid, which is a very expensive state program. And it's really hard to cut back on eligibility once you offer eligibility. So he was basically going around the legislature, not listening to the legislature, spending money that they didn't have. And some of that is still home to roost. The interesting thing is his lieutenant governor at the time was Pat Quinn. When he was impeached in early 2009, Pat Quinn became governor. Pat Quinn is a 30-year reformer in Illinois. Most of the regular politicians didn't even like him. And in Illinois, we nominate in the primary lieutenant governors separate from governors. So they were not really a team. And in the last year and a half or so of, and maybe more, of Governor Blagojevich's years in office, he and Pat Quinn basically didn't talk at all. So while we still have fiscal problems left over for a number of reasons, including the bad economy that tanked about the time that Governor Blagojevich got arrested, just coincidentally, we don't have the problem of a governor who seems completely disengaged and dishonest. Because Pat Quinn, he may not be the type to get things done a lot, and you know, people question his ability to get the legislature to do what he wants, and they question if he changes position once in a while. But it certainly does not seem that he is in it just for cash, and he certainly doesn't wear $5,000 suits.
Are prosecutors essentially done with this? There's still rumblings here and there about perhaps Congressman Jackson wanting or even engaging Blagojevich possibly in the pay-for-play deal for the seat. There hasn't been a lot of specificity to that, but do you get the sense that prosecutors are considering this a wrap, or are they still looking into this?
I would hesitate to speak for them too much, but it appears that the criminal cases are about done. We just had a major long-time businessman, political wheeler-dealer from Springfield, convicted of 2 of 4 counts involved in some of this, trying to get campaign contributions in exchange for state business. That was a guy named Bill Cellini who lives in Springfield and is appealing but awaiting sentencing. As far as Congressman Jackson, I know that his main problem right now is with the House Ethics Committee. I don't think there are no strong indications at this point that that would become a criminal matter for the federal prosecutors.
So the 3-year ordeal is over, at least for now, for the state of Illinois, and I'm sure everyone's hoping that this is the last time they'll have to deal with a governor undergoing prosecution for a long time.
Well, Rod Blagojevich was a very interesting character, as one state senator I talked to today said. You know, he had such a great personality and such charisma that all politicians want. I'm talking to a guy from Bloomington named Larry Bumke. He's a Republican state senator, so I'm kind of quoting him, but it's very true, and I think a lot of people would say this. He had so many tools to get stuff done because he could get elected, he could charm a crowd, he could speak very well, but you know, below the surface, there was no follow-through, and then when you hear these tape-recorded phone calls or other bugged conversations where he was in such a vile way just trying to dislike, he showed how much he disliked his job and how much he wanted personal benefit from it. It's exactly what you don't want in a public official. And it is exactly what he said he would fight against when he got elected after George Ryan's conviction and legal difficulties as the last governor. So it was just a very sad situation, and he really did turn state government somewhat upside down. We've lost at least a few thousand state jobs from Springfield that were either eliminated or moved to Chicago once he got in. And that kind of damage lingers on, too, and a lot of people will be feeling those effects for a long time.
So certainly not much sympathy for him today or as he reports to prison in February. Bernie, thank you very much for your time today, as always.
You're welcome.
Bernard Schoenberg of the State Journal Register newspaper in Springfield, Illinois. That's the capital of the land of Lincoln. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.